This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we are in part two of a series entitled Faith for the Abundant Life. Faith for the Abundant Life. And it is my job as your pastor, as your faith coach, as your teacher, to make sure that I'm teaching you the Word of God in a simplistic manner so you can understand it, apply it in your life, and get results. All right. And I told you last week that I believe that this, when we start talking about the abundant life, or you use words like prosper or prosperity, you know, there's been a lot of unbalanced teaching in the body of Christ, and so it's my job to make sure that I teach it balanced. I was talking to a lady, and I said, one of the bad things is if someone heard this and it was unbalanced, they run away from the word. But you can't run away from the word. You always have to run to the word, because the word is what it is, amen? But it's my job to make sure you understand that. When you hear things like prosperity is just a total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. So yes, it's not all about money, although money is included, because you need to have more than enough money, but you also need to have more than enough peace, more than enough joy. You need your bodies to be healed. You need your relationships to be right. That is true prosperity in your life. And so I'm teaching this series entitled Faith for the Abundant Life, and my whole objective is to make sure that you understand. Last week, if you remember, I said that the abundant life is promised, and I showed you through the scripture how it was promised. Then I said that the abundant life has purpose, and I showed you that when God blesses you, he has more than you in mind, that we are blessed to be a blessing. The whole reason years ago, Lady and I, you know, ever wanted to really be tremendously blessed was so that we could be a blessing. And then the last thing I shared with you last week is that the abundant life must be pursued. So faith without works is dead, being alone. That even though, getting ahead of myself, John 10 and 10, we'll go ahead and put it up on the screen. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, it's written in red in the KJV, that means Jesus is talking. Jesus says, I've come that they may have, and that they may have it. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. So Jesus says, listen, I have come that you might live a abundant life, a victorious, overcoming life. Where watch this, in my definition for abundant life, I don't think I gave it to them this week, but that's just charged to my head, not my heart. It is living a life in the will of God, and we know that his will is his word, right? Where you are overcoming every adversity and having all of your physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs met in abundance. And that is God's will for your life, that the total man, that every part of my life is whole, that every part of my life is healed. That's what makes it an abundant life. You got it? And so you have to understand that that is God's will for your life. And so I gave you the backdrop of last week. Today, I'm going to kind of share with you my testimony, Lady and I, our testimony, and how God just really blessed us and brought us to a no-need state. And it's important that I share this testimony. It's something that I preach all over the country when I go to different churches and those kind of things, because the Bible says that we are to follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. You need to know that you've got a man and woman of God who know how to apply the principles of the Word of God, who know how to walk in character, who know how to walk in integrity, who know how to do things the right way. You understand? This year will be 16 years old, but back in 2007, you know, when we first started the ministry, we were already in businesses. We were making millions of dollars, but God, there was a call on our life to come to New Bern. And the Lord says, I want you to go and to teach life without limits through practical biblical teaching. I want you to build people of purpose, power, and praise so that their faith, family, and finances go to another level. I want you to win the loss at any cost so that they become disciples and fulfill their God-given purpose in the earth. If you've been around long enough, you were remember how we used to always say that, right? Yeah, and so we do the same thing. We change it a little bit because we want to break it down to let you understand that we want to win people. We want to pastor them. We want to train and disciple them, get them involved in ministry. But all of that encompasses the same thing. And so when we came, the Lord says, son, if you will just teach the word in a simplistic manner where they can understand it and apply in their lives, I will send people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And this is the key. He says, and if they apply it, because you can be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He said, if they apply it, they will live a better life. So that's where we got our vision of pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. If I point you to Jesus, you're going to live a better life. Like if you accept Jesus and you start working this word, you are going to live a better life. And it's God's will for you to live a better life. You got it? And it's God's will for your children to live a better life and your grandchildren to live a better life. How many know that's why you ought to bring your kids to church? I got three amens. Let me say it again. How many know you ought to bring your children, your grandchildren? Because the seed, the word of God is the seed. You got it? It's an incorruptible seed that gets on the inside of them. And sometimes you don't realize till after they've gone, and they're off to college or military or whatever they're doing. Man, you see that seed working on the inside of them. You got it? And so I was talking to Lady, and of course, you know, I'm like any parent. I'm proud of my kids, like you're proud of your kids, right? My kids aren't perfect, you got it, but they're doing really good, and we thank God for that. But I understand that, yes, it has part to do with how I raised them, but it also has a lot to do with the fact that we brought them up in the ways of God. We brought them up, you know, going to back in the day we call it Sunday school, you know, and those things like that. It is so vitally important that your kids learn the word, you got it? And so, you know, one of the first things that my son Jay, he's been in the Navy now about a year and a half, when he got to California, one of the first things he did after about a week, we hadn't gotten his car to him because the company was taking a long time, and he says, Dad, I got to go find me a church tomorrow. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. I said, well, but you don't have your car. California's a big place. He's like, I'll take an Uber. He's like, listen, you said I need community, right? I'm like, I'm getting all excited without wanting him to know I'm getting excited on the phone, right? And you know, he went, and he's part of a great church. Immediately, he started signing up for stuff, helping, staying late. Why? Because that, you know, setting up, tearing out. That's just what he did here at Without Limits. And people are like, who in the world is this kid? And he's like, Dad, they want to meet you and Mom. I said, why? They want to know who in the world is raising their kids like that. What we doing over here at Without Limits Christian Center in New Bern, North Carolina. Right? And so he's signing, you know, he's a leader in the church, and he's doing different things. And so he was telling me the other night, last night we were talking on the phone, they've got this big conference going on. And he says, Dad, I'm the one that is in charge over the entire setup for the conference. He said, I've got to get my Google Docs together and send them to different volunteers and those kind of things. And then he was telling me, you know, Dad, things are going so good, you know, in the military. He's an RP, religious personnel. He really assists the chaplain. And he had a great chaplain, and he moved, and then this new chaplain, you know, a little rough around the edges, but that's okay, because see, Jay understands, if I just be myself, who God's called me to be, then everything will work out. And so his chaplain was kind of getting on him, you know, in the early days. And then all of a sudden his chaplain heard him, a Marine come in, and he didn't feel good about himself, and something was going on. And he heard Jay starting to minister to the kid and starting telling what the word of God says, and started telling him that, hey man, you are somebody. Don't you let anybody talk you out of that. Then the chaplain comes around. He's like, oh, you're really saved? Because a lot of RPs are not saved. And Jay's like, oh, yeah. And Jay said, Dad, he couldn't believe how much word I knew, how much scripture I knew, you know, and those kind of things. And because he has the word on the inside of him. It's not because he's a preacher's kid. It's because he was coming to Without Limits, going to them classes, hello somebody, and the teachers were teaching him. Shout out to the kids ministry who's teaching our kids the ways of the Lord. And then he said, yeah, you know, it's been late Friday. It's going to be a late night tonight. Then I got to be up again, you know, for the service. He said, but Dad, you know, it's all about impacting lives in an amazing way. I said, I know that's right, boy. And it's all about making a difference. You got it? But watch this. For me, that's part of the abundant life. I thank God for money, and we all need money, but I need my kids to do well. I need them to prosper in the earth. And let me just help you. Anytime, I'm always helping kids. I'm always doing stuff for kids. I've been like that, and I know a lot of you are like that, but every time you're doing something for someone else's kid, man, you don't realize, but you're sowing seed for your own child, that when your child goes to college or goes to the military or goes to another state, hello, somebody, there is going to be favor waiting to help that child because you helped somebody else's child. You reap what you sow. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so anyways, I'm going to get to my lesson in a minute. Praise the Lord. And so anyways, but I want you to understand what the abundant life is. You got it? Even though this lesson that I'm going to teach is a gear, if I get to it, it's teach, and if not, we'll get to it next week. Isn't that right? And even though this particular lesson is geared more toward giving, because I want to get you in faith for the big giving day. And I don't want you just in faith for giving, but I need you in faith for receiving, understanding that that's the word of God, that when you give, it is given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That when you sacrifice, it sets in motion the supernatural power of God. You got it? Solomon sacrificed, 1,000 burnt offerings. And in that same night, the Lord shows up and says, just what? Ask whatever you want. Like, supernatural things happen through my giving. And but I don't want you to, and I'm very careful. I don't want you to just be geared up that I'm just abundant life just for me to be rich and have a whole bunch of money and build me a big old house and put me a big gate around it so nobody will mess with me. That's not what the abundant life is. Now, if you want a house, God will give you the desires of your heart. But the whole reason for us to be blessed is so that we can be a blessing. Does that make sense? So John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want to share my testimony with you. Lady LaCanta and I, several years ago, we were at a very low point in our lives. We were living holy. We loved God. But I had questions. I would read scriptures like John 10:10, where he says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But I was not experiencing the abundant life. I would read scriptures like 3 John 2, where he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But I wasn't experiencing any type of prosperity. And I had questions because I needed to understand the word at the right level so I could apply it in my life and get results. And thank God for going to a good church, and thank God for having a good pastor that taught me the word of God. And I begin to learn the word of faith, and I begin to learn that the Bible was full of prophecy, promises, and principles. And for every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, I learned that there was a faith process to bring it to pass. I begin to learn that the will of God was not automatic. And a lot of times we say, the will of God just automatic. God just going to do whatever he's going to do. But I learned there is a sovereign will, but there's also the personal will of God for my life. And I learned that he needed my permission and my participation for him to his will into my life. I realized I couldn't sit by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away, saying, while on others thou art calling, Lord, you don't have to make a special trip, but please don't pass me by. No, I understood that there was something that I had to do. You got it? That I had to take the word of God, and I had to work the word of God, and I had to apply the word of God in my life. And I began to learn that death and life was in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, they eat the fruit thereof. And I had to learn the importance of speaking life and only speaking what I want and only speaking of healthy body and a healthy marriage and healthy children. You got it? That I'll only speak what I want and I don't speak what I don't want. And now watch this. And I'm never moved by what I see, but only what I believe. And I believe the word, that if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word come to pass in my life. This young man is already teaching up in here. I learned the principles of giving that radically changed my life. Now, my father, who's a pastor, who's a bishop, he taught me giving from a little boy. When I was 7, 8 years old, if I got $50, you understood. He taught me to give tithes and offering. You got it? But as an adult, it's a little bit different, because as a child, you just did it because mom and daddy said so, which is good. But there's another level, right? Because we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Now I'm beginning to learn giving at another level and to release my faith for the promised blessing that comes along with it. I'm learning that God is a God of covenant, and to the degree that I'm a God of covenant, that his word is my word and my word is his word. And if I apply this thing into my life, I am going to get results. And I don't know about you, but I know that I serve a God of results. I serve the God that takes my name from the bottom to the top. I serve a God that causes policies, rules, regulations, and laws to be changed in reverse on my behalf. I don't know about you, but I serve a God that that I win battles I don't even have to fight because he is fighting them for me, that this is the day, the set time, and the designated moment for me to experience his faith. I don't have to fight with nobody. I don't have to go off on nobody. You know, come on, somebody. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But if I will just hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, I understand that weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What do you do? I'm talking covenant. Because I'm in covenant with Jesus. Hello, somebody. So if the doctor calls and says, you know, there's a negative something going on, I'm not going to get mad with the doctor. I go to God and I'll get my covenant and say, Father, your word says you bore our sickness and infirmity on a tree. And because of that, by your stripes, I'm already healed. So, Father, right now, where I'm standing, whether it's my living room, whether I'm sitting in the car, whether I'm in the break room at the job, I receive total and complete healing. As a matter of fact, healing virtue. Virtue means power. It's translated as dunamis power, flow through my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my, and if there's anything in my body that ought not be there, according to my covenant, you got to die, dry up, disintegrate, leave, and never return. That is my covenant for the abundant life. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You got it. You thought you were going to get your check direct deposit. Somebody took some money out because you owed them 18 years ago, and they finally found you and got the money. You understand what I'm saying? And now the devil's trying to tell you things ain't going to work out. You're not going to be able to pay. I go right back to my covenant, and I have a little talk with Jesus and say, Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. I thank you for your many provisions in my life. God, you have always come through. You have always provided richly. You have always opened the door and made a way. And I declare that you are the same God right now that was back then. So I receive increase. Father, I receive favor. I receive open doors in Jesus' name. And if I do that, the supernatural's got to show up in my life. You've got to understand that you have a covenant. You have covenant rights as a believer. In the redemptive work of Christ, what Jesus did for us on Calvary, I'm going to get to that lesson one day, but I'm going to flow with this right now. In the redemptive work of Christ, Jesus, what he did for us on Calvary, we can't just stop at salvation. And I thank God for salvation. I thank him for paying the sin penalty for my life. I thank you that if I ever close my eyes here on earth, won't be for a long time. Why? Because I got a covenant. He's going to satisfy me with long life and show me his salvation, right? I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. This is why you've got to know your covenant. Right? And so it doesn't matter what comes, you got it, and it doesn't matter what goes, I always go to my covenant, and I have covenant rights, you got it? There is something that Jesus has already taken care of. So when I do close my eyes here on this earth, I'm going to open my eyes in heaven because he's already paid the sin debt, and salvation is mine. Right? But it doesn't stop there. You got it? Healing is mine. Peace is mine. Provision is my, listen, if you've been walking around and it's been hectic at your job and it's been chaotic on your job and it's been distraction and it's been frustration, you ain't got to get up and leave your job. Don't you know that the anointing of Almighty God resides on the inside of you, and you start opening your mouth, say, no, it ain't going to be like this on this job anymore. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the next time I go back to that job, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is guarding my heart and mind through Christ. I curse distractions in the name of Jesus. I curse the depressing spirit that tries to get on me when I walk in there. I curse that anxiety spirit. I declare that tomorrow when I go back, I'm going in joy. I'm going in peace. It's going to be a great day in Jesus' name. How can you say that? Because it's part of the abundant life. You got it? I've got covenant rights. And that is why it's important for me to get you to understand that abundant life is not just about money. Money is included, and we need money. You got it? Because City of New Bern ain't going to take Jesus paid it all. Isn't that right? You know what I mean? You go ahead and get your City of New Bern, your Duke Energy, electric bill, whatever, and you just put a little sticky, you know, instead of the check and send it back saying Jesus paid it all. Them lights going off. Am I telling the truth? Yep. Right, but because you are a covenant believer, you got it, according to Malachi, he says, prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessings. The windows of heaven have to do with insight and opportunity and inspired ideas and the wisdom of God. God will give you wisdom. You know, I've been praying for you, right? I pray for you all the time. But as of this year, I've added something to my prayer that I'm praying for multiple passive streams of income for your life, that you make money while you sleep at night. Why? Because you have to understand, it's not God's will for you to toil all the days of your life. It's God's will for you to enjoy your life and impact people's lives in an amazing way. And if, watch this, if money's not an obstacle, you can do the will of God for your life. Does that make sense? It's not the will of God for you to be paycheck to paycheck. It's not the will of God for you to barely be making it. You know, and it's certainly not, and we spiritualize everything. It's not the will of God for you to be in between blessings. My covenant right does not say anything about me being in between blessing. As a matter of fact, it says blessing on top of blessing and increase on top of increase and favor on top of favor. And if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Somebody clap your hands and give the Lord a big praise. Oh, man, I'm going to get to this lesson in a minute, praise the Lord. But I think it's important that I get you to understand what the abundant life is, because the Lord told me, you know, we have so many new people coming and those kind of things. He says, son, people have been turned off because the message has been distorted. You understand? He says, but that was their distortion. He says, my message is not distorted, so you have to give them my message in a way that they can receive it. You got it? Well, you know, and so you have to understand, it's nothing missing. Nothing lacking and nothing broken in your life. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about my story. I can already see I'm not going to get to my points, but it's okay because y'all coming back next week, isn't that right? Yeah, all right, just shake your head. We coming back next week. Okay, I know you're coming back. All right, so I had to overcome something called false beliefs, because my pastor started teaching on giving, and like I said, I remember where I left off, but like I said, my father taught me how to give, right? But when I as an adult in the Marine Corps, first thing I did, and it's amazing, one of the first things I did was find a church. When I went to Camp Lejeune, after I got out of boot camp and got to camp, that's wonderful. And so when my son did that, I was like, man, that's just amazing. But anyways, and so I found the church, you know, and I started learning the word at another level. I started learning faith at another level. And so as a kid, I would give out of obedience because my father told me to, which is good because it was working. But now I'm on my own, you got it, and I'm grown now, you got it. I can do what I want to do. It isn't amazing how we can't wait till we get grown, and then when we get grown, we find out bills come with grown. We find out all kind of other stuff, responsibilities, and then all of a sudden, sometime you're grown and you don't want to be grown no more. So to all my kids in the house, just take your time and enjoy the season you're in. Grown will be here in due time. Isn't that right? All right, so he began to teach on giving, and I began to learn it at another level. I had to overcome something called false beliefs. Everybody say false beliefs. False beliefs, they are thought patterns that are contrary to the express will of God, and we understand that his will is his word, and it hinders, cripples the believer's decision-making process. What I mean by that, these false beliefs come from the enemy, and he shoots all these, the Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those are negative thoughts that come to your mind to make you think that you can't make it, and you're not going to get through this season, and that report from the doctor is going to stay like that, and you're going to die. I mean, he might say, hey, just come back because, you know, the x-ray was a little fuzzy. You got it? That's all he said. Just fuzzy. We just need to get a clear picture. Now the devil telling you got cancer. You got all these kind of things. You got to cast all that stuff out. You got it? Because it is not your portion. Right? So let me just help you. An easy way to understand what you receive and what you don't receive is the Bible says that the Lord is your portion. So when you receive Jesus into your heart, you know, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. You receive who he is and everything that comes with him. Healing comes with him, all right? Deliverance comes with him. Freedom comes with him. You got it? Joy comes with him. Peace comes. So that is your portion. So if you ever get in a situation where the enemy's trying to serve you up something, you got to be like, oh, that ain't my portion. The Lord is my portion. So, devil, you can just take all that back, and I'm going to wait for God to give me what belongs to me. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand the importance of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I can't remember last week, was it the 9 o'clock or this service when I told my story about how I was getting out of the military and I was getting a job and I couldn't stay up at night? Was it this service? Okay, good. Okay, we in great shape. So I told the 9, you got it, so they could be up to speed. I thought it was this service. So this is good. This is good. This is perfect, all right? Praise the Lord. We'll start at point number 1 next week. I'm still in my introduction. All right. No, I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is. And I've given you, y'all know I'm a systematic guy. How many points did I have? 3. Yeah, even though we didn't get to them, y'all already know, right? Well, we're going to pick them up next week. I'm very systematic. I was upset with myself at the 9 o'clock because I didn't finish my lesson. You understand what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit had to remind me, hey, brother, man, this is my show. This ain't your show. So why don't you just let me flow? And I said, I receive that in Jesus' name. Because look, in 16 years, it's been the Lord doing all this around here at Without Limits Christian Center. So we're going to keep letting the Lord do it. Isn't that right? But you can understand the natural side of it. I prepare and I want to give it all to you. You got it. But not my way, but his way. Does that make sense? All right. Whew. All right. I got 3 minutes and 32 seconds to give you this last part. And then we're going to let you go to Bojangles, Smithfields, or home, wherever you're going. Amen. All right. Go watch them games. All right. I'm really, really praying about going back to 4 teams so I can start winning every Sunday again. Yeah, I used to have 14. I always go, Dallas Cowboys are always going to be one of them. I think, but if y'all been around long enough, y'all remember, I've always had 4 teams. I always have. Just recently in the past couple years, I've just been pushing my 1 team. I think I need to pick up my 4. And people are like, well, why you got 4 teams? Well, because that way I always win. You understand what I'm saying? It's a numbers game. You got it? Now I picked the right teams, you know. All right, praise the Lord, all right? Because I told you last week I was going to fly out there to be the kicker. I think I need to fly out there to be the quarterback. But anyways. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And some of y'all wore me out. Let me just get on y'all for a minute. Some of y'all wore me out. Inbox. Well, I don't check my inbox. And some of you, did you check your inbox? No, I ain't checking my. Texting me and putting stuff on my wall. And I think it's amazing because when y'all lose, I feel bad for y'all. I'm like, hey, man, sorry. I mean, seriously, I'm like that. I never get on anybody. So I thought surely I'd get a text saying, hey, pastor, sorry about your boys. I did not get that. I mean, y'all just put it on top of me. But it's okay. We regrouping. Next year's our year. Praise the Lord. See, I got a witness in the house. Everybody say, not my will, but yours be done. Say, I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. I'm blessed. All my needs are met according to heaven's best. I've got enough for me. Enough to save and enough to be a blessing. I live the abundant life because Jesus has already provided it. So I receive it for me and my family by faith in Jesus' name. Now say, I'm free. Come on, I'm free. I'm free. And you got to walk in that freedom. The writer says, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again to that yoke of bondage. Whatever you got free from, he said, don't go back to that. But when you get free, stay free. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus has already done everything he needs you to do for you to be free. All you got to do is make it up in your mind that I'm going to walk in that freedom. I'm not going to let anything negative come out of my mouth. I'm going to walk in that freedom. I'm only going to do what the word says do, and I'm going to walk this word out. And I'm not going to have conversations with the enemy because that's what he wants to do. He wants to talk a little bit, and then you to think about it, and you to tell him, man, cast all them thoughts away and confess what the word of God says. Don't allow people to live rent-free in your head. If you get delivered from anything, get delivered from people. And I'm not being mean, but people are going to be people. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody is not going to be your friend. Everybody's not going to want to see you do good. But don't forget what I told you. You are built to last. You're built to last. And so don't be ugly. Come on, somebody. Don't fight back, but just stand still and be who God has called you to be. If they do something and it tries to close the door, don't worry about it. You got it? You're built to last. God knew they were going to try to close that door. He'll open a greater door in your life. Some good things happen to you and people throw shade. No, people only throw shade on what shines. You're built to last. You got to understand that. You are built to last. So weapons may form, but they're not going to prosper. You might bend, but you ain't going to break. And this is the year the Lord said, not James McIver, the Lord said, this is the year that things change. And that's what you got to hold on to. That, Father, I thank you, this is the year. So I don't care if you walk in to work tomorrow or something crazy happens in your family tomorrow or even this afternoon. Don't get frustrated. Don't go off. You got to just, Father, I thank you that this is the year that things change. And while I'm going through this change, I thank you, I'm built to last. So I thank you for my refreshing. You're recharging my battery. I thank you for recompense. You're paying me back and giving me double for all my trouble. I thank you for acceleration. My eyes have not seen. Neither have my ears heard the things you have prepared for me, that I'm going to the next level in Jesus' name. When you do that, what are you doing? You're staying focused. And if you stay focused on what really matters, you got it. Let me help y'all. Is that the right time? Okay, all right, we're going to go. Don't look at the clock. Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, yeah, we had dreamers. Okay, I was about to say. Yeah, we had dreamers. I know Pastor ain't been up here all this time, all right? And so let me share you this, and then we're going to pray and we're going to go. We did salvations already and this earlier, right? No? Okay, so we got to do that. All right. So whatever you focus on the longest becomes the strongest. Have you ever purchased a car and then noticed you saw a whole bunch of cars like yours? You ever done that? You got it? There's this principle of awareness that shows you, watch this, that it's like that with the car, but you buy a house. And then you notice there's other houses that look like your house. You got it. Just all kind of things. You might buy you some new sneakers. You go to the mall. Oh, man, they got my sneakers on. No, they got their sneakers on. You got your sneakers on. But it's this principle of awareness that teaches us that everything you need is around you. And whatever you focus on the longest becomes the strongest. So you just focus on your goals and what you want God to do in your life. And don't worry about anything else. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. And while heads bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying, if you're in this room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. The Bible goes on to say, where with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is not a hard word. It means that I was heading in the wrong direction, doing the wrong things. I came to the knowledge of Jesus and I repented or made a U-turn and started heading back in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so no matter if you're in the room or online and you need to get saved, you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you're a Christian that needs to repent, this prayer will work for you. Now, you heard me talk about connection cards at the beginning, and those are for first-time friends that are in the room or online. But those connection cards are also for another group of people. If you're going to get saved today, if you're going to rededicate your life, or if you want to join this amazing church today, all you have to do is take that connection card and fill it out and then turn it in. That's all you got to do. And so let's seal the deal, and I want you to repeat this simple prayer. I want everyone in the room and online to pray it. Why? Because it's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. But truth be told, we can all pray it together. I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?